U.S. should give voice to the voices from within Iran through culture.
Iranian writer Azar Nafisi.
What is dangerous about U.S. is not its weapons. It is a democratic culture, which also, by the way, needs to be cultivated in this country.
Azar Nafisi is one voice reflecting Iranian culture. She has a new book out called Things I've Been Silent About. And here are some of the things she was silent about that led her to writing this book. Falling in love in Tehran, going to parties in Tehran, reading Lolita in Tehran. That last one became the title of Ms. Nafisi's 2003 best-selling book. She says that even watching the Marx Brothers in Tehran was something to keep quiet about.
After the revolution, the Iranian radio and television had these amazing archives of films, including the old classics. And the government just put a ban on them, and then people started having these forbidden videos. So we would get them through these channels. And anything that would show women, and you remember that hefty woman in
Margaret Dumont.
Yeah, wonderful woman in Marx Brothers. None of this could be shown publicly. So we would be watching them all in the privacy of our homes.
And today, is it still difficult to watch the Marx Brothers in Tehran?
Well, the whole idea about Tehran is, first of all, that living in Iran is like the month of April. You have periods of sunshine and then thunderstorms. The laws are very strict laws, and those laws have changed very little. So what the government does, it becomes more liberal, less liberal, more liberal, less liberal. But watching films in their entirety without censor, I think that that is still a problem.
Can we also say that another thing that you've been silent about, perhaps, is your mother? You loved her, you love her, but she was a hard-edged woman, it seems.
Yes, actually, I feel that it is much easier to be not silent about things that are political and social than to be talking about matters that are so personal. And my relationship with my mother was a very conflicted one, and it also shaped my relationships with the world. But the time comes in your life when your absent parents force you to think that there was a conversation there that was never finished. And that absence becomes so overwhelmingly present that you need to carry on the conversation. And if you're a writer, the only way you can carry on the conversation is by writing about it.
I mean, it was a very personal relationship, but at the same time, it's one that kind of echoed a lot of kind of societal givens in Iran. I mean,
yeah. You
say your mother once said, "I should have been a man, then I would be free to do what I want." And I'm wondering how the experience of being a woman in Iran yourself and watching your mother, how it marked you and made you who you are and also kept you from being who you want to be.
You're very right in bringing out this relationship between the personal and political. I think that a lot of time personal relationships become the microcosm of the society as large. Since the time of my grandmother, which goes to the beginning of 20th century, our country has been in a political, social, but also cultural turmoil. And at the center of that change has been the issue of women. My mother was caught in that. She could speak French fluently, was first in her class, wanted to become a doctor like her brother. But the society that felt that her brother should get the education, but she could get married, you know, just as well, prevented her from getting there. And that bitterness never left her.
Your memoir chronicles your life in Iran, both before and after the revolution there. But you now live in the United States, and you recently became a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
You stayed in Iran through the Iran-Iraq War.
Yes.
And the many difficulties of life under the revolution.
Yeah.
What made you finally decide to leave?
Well, at some point, I realized, you know, life is not interminable. And you need to fulfill what you feel you've been born into, almost. I was a teacher. And I was a writer, and under those circumstances, I could neither write nor teach. And so I decided that really what I have is a portable world. What I have of Iran is the memories, which no one will take away from me. It's the literature, plus the fact that if I talk here, the people in Iran will hear me uncensored. But I could not anymore just keep my voice in tune with the outside world. And I don't mean just government. I just wanted to talk about things that mattered to me.
So, Azar Nafisi, you get your fantasy moment, 15 minutes in the White House with Barack Obama. What do you tell him to do on how to proceed with Iran? Do you agree with his idea that, assuming certain conditions, you can sit down with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad to discuss, to dialogue?
You know, it is a foregone argument that governments talk to one another. And whoever says that they shouldn't is being rather silly. The point about where U.S. is wrong is that talks should be strategic. U.S. foreign policymakers have been very short-sighted. They look at Khatami and Ahmadinejad and they suit themselves to just the moment, not realizing that they're dealing with a system, that these people are symptoms of that system, that there is also a system that is 70 million Iranians, that you should nuance your talks. Be both firm and flexible. Make those talks public and responsible.
Azar Nafisi's new memoir is called Things I've Been Silent About. Thank you so much for being here with
us. Thank you very much, Marco.
And you can hear Azar Nafisi reading an excerpt from her book on our website, theworld.org.